From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, June 3rd. I'm Abby Larico. A Missouri treatment center for teens experiencing trauma is facing lawsuits from former students around the country. The students say they experienced physical and sexual abuse while at the facility in Lake Ozark.
They're throwing kids to the ground, you know, like being slammed to the ground. That happened to me so many times.
The Midwest Newsroom reports on the treatment center known as CALO, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The city of St. Louis will not have to find another $68 million for its police department before the end of this month. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman explains yesterday's ruling.
The state-appointed board that oversees the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department sued the city last month. It argued officials had improperly left RAM settlement funds and budget reserves out of the calculation of minimum funding levels for 2026. But city attorneys said that money had been accounted for in prior years and therefore could not be income in the current budget. Circuit Judge Joan Moriarty agreed. She rejected the attempt by the board to force the funding increase. Mayor Kara Spencer called the ruling a win for the city and for common sense. Police Board President Chris Saraceno said its members were disappointed and intended to appeal. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Meantime, members of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen are expressing dismay at a proposal to boost salaries for St. Louis police commanders by as much as 22%. The Board of Police Commissioners could vote today to approve raises for lieutenants and above to take effect July 1st. That would trigger salary hikes for certain fire department employees as well. 14th Ward Alderman Rasheen Aldridge chairs the city's budget committee. He says police salaries are getting too far out of line with those of other city employees.
When you're talking about 18, 20, and 22%, I haven't seen in no workplace where anyone's received like that large of amount of a raise.
The police board also wants to boost civilian salaries by 4%. The raises for police will cost more than $2 million. The cost of the fire department raises was not immediately available. Roughly $11 million of state-appropriated funding for tornado recovery in North St. Louis will help the city demolish more than 120 homes and bolster its home repair program. The funds come from the state's more than $180 million approved to help the city recover from last year's May tornado. $10 million of that will reimburse the city for demolitions ineligible for FEMA funding. The city had hoped the federal government would cover demolitions of some vacant or condemned homes hit by the tornado. That request was denied. Chief Recovery Officer Julian Nix says these funds will help fill that gap. An additional $1 million from Missouri's Housing Development Commission will go toward the city's tornado repair program. Most Metro East Democrats call the $56 billion state budget that capped the Illinois General Assembly's 2026 session earlier this week a reasonable spending plan. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
To offset increased spending, the budget bills create new taxes on social media companies, prediction markets, fantasy sports, and digital advertising. Democratic Representative Jay Hoffman of Swansea says it was a tougher budget than some previous years due to changes at the federal level and stubborn inflation.
We went into this budget with that in mind, wanting to make sure it was fiscally responsible, provide for our priorities, and not be balanced on the back of working families and families who are in need. And I think we accomplished that.
Fellow Democratic Representative Katie Stewart of Edwardsville also voted to approve the budget bills, but Democratic Senator Chris Belt of Swansea voted against them, saying they didn't strike a balance between necessary investments and the financial burden placed on taxpayers. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Pride Month has officially kicked off, and as St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, you can find a variety of events to commemorate it throughout the St. Louis region.
June 4th, 5th, and 6th will feature the Pride Fest kickoff, the Cardinals Pride Night, and Coca Drag Bingo Fundraiser. June 11th, 12th, and 13th, Circus Flora Pride Night, Q Fest, and Rolla Pride will take place. Pride St. Charles will be held on June 20th, and the month will end with the downtown St. Louis Pride Fest and Parade. This year's festival will include performances from In Vogue, Iconopop, and Ally and AJ. A kickoff event for the St. Louis Pride Fest will be held at Four Hands Brewing Company Thursday. For Pride Month events and details, go to stlpr.org. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Before the Bosnia and Herzegovina national soccer team sets off for their first World Cup match in Canada, they're making a stop in St. Louis. As STLPR's Anison Krebs Carr reports, local Bosnians are eagerly anticipating the team's return for the first time in 12 years.
The Bosnian team will play Panama in a tune-up match at Energizer Park on Saturday, 6 days before the World Cup. St. Louis has the largest Bosnian community outside of Europe and is home to more than 60,000 Bosnians. Elvir Kafejic is the founder of the St. Louis Dragons youth soccer program.
I have no doubt that on June 6th, the entire Bosnian community will come together, rally behind the team, and send them off to the first World Cup match. And I truly believe this is something that this community will carry with pride for many years to come.
Kafejic was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
A residential treatment center in Missouri has said its vision is to become to childhood trauma what St. Jude is to childhood cancer. But some former residents say they left the facility more traumatized than when they arrived and describe a chaotic and at times violent environment. The Midwest Newsroom's Luke Nazika reports.
Lilo Bauer remembers waking in 2017 to find their mother sobbing at their bedside. There were three strangers standing in their northeastern Illinois home.
They posed this question, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Bauer, who is non-binary, was being gooned. In the so-called troubled teen industry, it's when a secure transport company, often hired by a teen's parent, takes a child to a boarding school or a treatment center. Bauer had heard horror stories about kids being thrown in vehicles and taken against their will, so they went willingly. Bauer didn't know it yet, but they were being taken hours away to Change Academy at Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. Also known as CALO, the facility takes in kids from across the country, promising a therapeutic environment to help them heal from developmental trauma. But some former students say employees used restraints that turned into physical abuse.
They're throwing kids to the ground, being slammed to the ground. That happened to me so many times, being slammed to the ground, you end up covered with bruises. And that happened frequently.
Bauer is now among 15 former students who are suing CALO, alleging physical and emotional abuse by staff. Their attorney, Kansas City-based Robert Thrasher, says about half of his clients were also sexually abused by fellow residents.
And when the kids show up and the parents leave, or when the kids are brought there, they are greeted with an environment that is very, it's a very combative environment. It's been described as a prison-like environment. Everybody is kind of fending for themselves.
In a statement, a CALO spokesperson tells the Midwest Newsroom it does not tolerate staff aggression and denies all claims of abuse and neglect. CALO also says the lawsuits are without merit and that the facility exists to serve students and families the broader system has given up on. Another former student is Taylor Kiesel. She attended CALO in 2022 and 2023 and says she was in fight or flight mode 24/7.
They would instigate kids, especially like me with trauma. They would corner you, get up in your face, get you to do something so that they have the jurisdiction to restrain you.
Kiesel was 16 and 110 pounds when, she says, an employee assaulted her.
He grabbed me and he slammed me down onto the asphalt, got a concussion that I was never treated for. And he began hitting me. And this is a guy that's probably 6'2", really bulky compared to me, a teenage girl at the time.
CALO is a licensed facility in Missouri, but does not currently hold a contract with the Children's Division. On rare occasions, Missouri has placed children in its legal custody there. Since CALO opened in 2007, Missouri's Child Welfare Agency has documented 5 findings of physical abuse and 5 of sexual abuse involving CALO. Records also show that the Camden County Sheriff's Office has received at least 400 calls tied to CALO's address, including for reports of runaways, assaults, and sexual abuse. As for Lilo Bauer, they graduated last month with a bachelor's degree in social work from the University of Iowa, where they are now in a master's program. They plan to become a social worker for survivors of abuse, including those harmed in the troubled teen industry.
We can support kids and their mental health without ripping them from homes and labeling them troubled teens.
No agency in the state of Missouri is currently investigating CALO. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Luke Nozika in St. Louis.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.